From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 126 of Little Brother for the 8th of April, 2023. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, however insane, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me a critter at littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. There's a lot going on again this week, so let's get started. In San Antonio, Texas, a man whose truck was stolen used an Apple AirTag to find it and get it back. According to the San Antonio police, the man did call them upon finding his truck stolen, but he did not wait for the police to arrive before taking action to retrieve it. When he located his truck, he found someone inside it, and understandably, there was something of a confrontation. That confrontation ended with gunfire, leaving the alleged thief dead. The truck owner is not expected to face charges. ChatGPT is apparently a pretty good mimic. Some experimenters have asked it to simply emulate an FTP server at Disney. What resulted was a stateful simulation of a plausible system. At the same time, I've also become aware of at least one of my listeners getting it to create a playable, Zork-like text adventure game. The potential for using it to create honeypots is something to think about. Speaking of things to think about, if you are using ChatGPT, you need to think about what you tell it. Several employees of Samsung have reportedly leaked sensitive information to the popular chatbot on multiple occasions. It is apparently easy, I don't know how exactly, but apparently it is, to overlook the fact that the chatbot is not a secure system and should not be trusted with confidential or proprietary information. I am personally aware of at least one other company who responded to this by sending a reminder to all employees that confidential information is not to be sent to public AI systems and that, when using such systems for content generation, which is acceptable in many cases, doing so does not alleviate the need to check for plagiarism. While we are on the topic of ChatGPT, maybe we should say Dr. ChatGPT. The AI has demonstrated an aptitude for medicine. In an experiment carried out by Dr. Isaac Cohane, a physician and a Harvard computer scientist, ChatGPT was easily able to pass a medical exam. In addition to being able to diagnose rare diseases, it is able to translate discharge instructions into multiple languages and even provide tips on bedside manner. The experimenters caution, however, that ChatGPT is prone to giving occasionally inaccurate answers with complete certainty, a phenomenon that the AI experts have dubbed hallucinations, and that it has no ethical compass. Speaking of no ethical compass, Twitter demonstrated their lack of one. National Public Radio has recently been given a new tag by Twitter. Users of the social media platform will now find posts by NPR identified as coming from state-affiliated media, in apparent contravention of the definition found in Twitter's own user agreements, which define state-affiliated media as lacking editorial independence. Exacerbating the obvious contradiction, other public media outlets, such as the British Broadcast Corporation, better known as BBC, and Deutsche Welle, better known as DW, have not been so labeled. Also not so labeled are the U.S.'s actual state-affiliated media outlets, Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Free Asia, Radio Television Marti, and Al Hurra. The Florida State University system has added TikTok to their prohibited technologies list, blocking access to TikTok to students, faculty, and any other users of the system's compute resources, including university-issued devices and university wired and Wi-Fi networks, on all campuses and other facilities within the system. Students have responded, as one might expect, by simply turning off Wi-Fi on their devices and using cellular data that is not under the control of the university system. The UK government has issued a fine against TikTok of 12.7 million British pounds, or approximately 15.8 million US dollars at the time of this recording. The fine was levied by the British Information Commissioner's Office, or ICO, on charges that the social media platform misused or mishandled children's data in the UK under the age of 13. While TikTok insists that they have invested considerable time, money, and effort into preventing children under the age of 13 from accessing the platform, it is nonetheless estimated that approximately 1 million children under 13 were able to gain access to it from within the UK. Around this time last year, Cisco Systems expressed intent to exit from the Russian market. The exit began with a refusal to renew licenses, which, with their so-called smart licensing system, will cause routers, switches, telephones, and other equipment in Russia to simply refuse to operate on license expiration, putting a lot of it out of service. The news now is that as the company left the country, they destroyed approximately $23 million worth of equipment. Those of us who work with Cisco equipment for a living have speculated this to be approximately one 42U rack. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. We have two this week. First up, MSI. The Taiwanese computer parts manufacturer, best known for their motherboards, have confirmed that they have suffered a breach at the hands of a ransomware gang. Per their statement, they have engaged law enforcement, restored services, and resumed normal operations. No customer data is believed to be compromised. Further, they are urging users who might have been spooked into doing otherwise to only download firmware and BIOS updates from the MSI-hosted official sources. The other pwn this week is Western Digital. The California-based maker of storage devices have confirmed that they too have suffered a breach and that the attackers have gained access to numerous company systems. As a security measure, WDC have shut down their cloud-based storage service, MyCloud, in order to safeguard operations. The monthly meeting of the Albany 2600 group took place last night, as did 2600 groups around the world, and once again, I took an opportunity to capture the voice of the community. I guess the bluntest question I can ask is, should TikTok be banned?
Wow, I hate to ban anything.
I agree with you.
But TikTok actually does do some spying. If you do trace packets of sending and stuff, it does send information back. Does it send any more or less than, say, Facebook does? That's the question. The other concern is, where is it going? I don't think the U.S. would be as concerned if it were going to Mark Zuckerberg as it would be if it goes to China. So it's unknown.
I had mixed feelings at first, and now, overall, I don't necessarily think that's a good idea. Do I think that it's actually being used as like a nation-state tool to collect information from us, from a foreign power? Yeah, actually, I do. 100%. Okay. I 100% believe that. But okay. At the same time, we have nation-state tools that are being used against us all the time.
True.
And social media. The only difference is, what shore are we reporting back to? And so I don't think it's a good idea to pick winners and losers when it comes to that space.
Okay.
I would like to see some more openness and have them be more at the forefront of like telling you exactly what they're collecting, what they're doing. But I don't like the idea of picking winners and losers.
I don't know yet. I was saying yes, but I was under the impression that it had some really nasty things in it.
Okay.
Somewhere along the way, I had thought it had the ability to do remote code execution.
That hasn't panned out, though?
My understanding was that it was more of an exploit that could potentially be used that way, but that's been fixed. Now I'm in like kind of a weird zone where I'm like, all right, how much do I care about the general privacy issues any more than I do with other social media apps? When it was the possibility of remote code execution, I had visions of one day we wake up and the Chinese government just, you know, deploys something to every TikTok user in America.
Ooh.
And
yeah, that would get ugly.
And it executes.
Yeah, this is an interesting subject. I personally don't use TikTok, but I've seen TikTok on a secondary. It goes on other social media platforms that I do use. So I know some of the history. I think Wired did an excellent article. I think it was Wired or Zero. But they went in depth about how the algorithm behind it is what really makes it addicting. And then the power behind whoever creates the algorithm steers the populace in a certain manner. I understand having the idea of TikTok is an affiliate to ByteDance, so therefore it's related to CCP. And that's a concern, I would say. But all social media companies at the end of the day are connected to big government.
Have you encountered the Restrict Act? Are you familiar with it?
I couldn't quote it to you, but I know that I don't like it.
Tell me a little bit about your concerns there.
So my limited understanding coming across headlines and being on the tertiary of conversations about it, I understand that it could be poised to expand government powers in the realm of restricting speech and the use of VPNs, giving the government the capacity to label language that they find quote-unquote dangerous or a threat to national security. It gives them powers to prosecute that both monetarily and with prison terms, and the First Amendment implications alone are extremely scary. And even if you do want to approach any major piece of legislation like that with the best possible outlook, still you have to consider, even if it's written to be used as purely as possible, what powers does it give anybody who wants to weaponize it?
Sure.
And those powers are great.
I think that the Restrict Act is one of the worst acts I've seen in terms of giving the ability to the government to pretty much ban any piece of technology that exists in the name of national security.
You read the act?
Yes, I have.
You have read the act. Okay. What are your thoughts on the First Amendment implications of it?
That's clearly against First Amendment rights. But, you know, I don't think it's the first time that this type of thing has come up, right? Because you have back in the early 2000s, you had a case where you couldn't talk about the encryption scheme for the MPAA's DRM.
Oh, CSS.
Yes.
I kind of vaguely remember that. Excellent.
It's absolutely, we have to nip that in the bud. Basically, it lets them cut off the internet or censor the internet in any way they want. You don't know that you've broken the law until it's too late and you've broken it, and it restricts your access severely. If you have a problem with one particular app, then ban that one particular app, but don't go abroad anything. I think it's anything that's malicious, whatever that means.
Fair enough. So, all right.
I donate to the Electronic Frontier, and I have not heard about that, so I'm surprised, no.
Yes, and I've consulted with some privacy groups for their opinion on it. I mean, obviously, you know, as always, Congress likes to hit a fly on their nose with a hammer. You know, I'm the first person to kind of proclaim warnings about what the Chinese government is doing with tech and with media to kind of have undue influence on things on our shores. But when I see possible felony for using a VPN to access it, whatever that they did, it should have been singularly focused on TikTok, the corporation, and making them change the way they do things.
Sure.
There should be nothing in there that affects an American citizen who's trying to use TikTok.
Those were, in order of appearance, the voices of Ravenscloth, Roots, Fogaboo, JB, Set, and Tim the Enchanter. We'll bring you more voices of the Albany 2600 in the next couple of weeks. You can take this next piece in a few different ways. It could be a statement of the obvious. It could be a public service announcement. It could be a cautionary tale. However you want to take it, in this case, it begins with a post on Reddit. In the r/cordcutters sub, under the headline of Buying a Movie from Amazon, Lipcracker76 writes, quote, "How does that work? Not a physical DVD, just for streaming. Once I buy it, is it mine forever, or is there a limit on viewing it like a rental? Also, the same DVD might be $9.99, $13, or $19. Why is there such a difference on the prices? If I buy one DVD, do I have to pay for shipping even though the DVD is not being physically shipped?" End quote. Don't ever buy video from a streaming service. You don't end up owning anything. Your ability to access your so-called property is entirely dependent on the service you bought it from. By the way, you should picture me making air quotes every time I say the word buy or bought or property in this context. Your ability to access your so-called property is entirely dependent on the service you bought it from, remaining in business, remaining online, continuing to have the needed rights to distribute the content, etc. If you cancel the service, you lose access to the thing you bought from them. Never buy a video from a streaming service. Rent it. If you want a copy that you can always watch, physical media are the only way to get there. As usual, we'll end this week's show with the fail of the week. We have two this week. The first one goes to Tesla. One of the problems with cloud-based services of any kind, as we found out in episode 112 with Roomba, is that you are dependent on the organization hosting the service to have good privacy practices and for their employees to follow them. Tesla's cars are, of course, bristling with cameras and constantly connected to the network. Well, it seems now that Tesla is on the receiving end of a lawsuit alleging that Tesla employees viewed and shared invasive images and videos taken by cameras on the cars that they make, including images taken from inside garages, in backyards, images of car crashes, road rage incidents, etc. This is, of course, in no way acceptable and suggests what I've felt for some time, which is that the purpose of a car is to carry you from where you are to where you want to be, not to function as a mobile surveillance platform. But the grand fail this week goes to Clearview AI. Clearview AI is a New York-based database and software publisher that specializes in facial recognition. Clearview makes available for subscription a database of facial recognition data that they have compiled from publicly available sources, with law enforcement as its primary audience. If those words sound familiar, it may be because that's an exact lift from the script of episode 66. They've been mentioned on this podcast 9 times prior to now. The fail this time is that faulty recognition by their facial recognition system resulted in a man by the name of Randall Reed landing in a jail cell in DeKalb County, Georgia, for a week for a crime that he did not commit, in a place that he'd never been, costing him thousands of dollars for lawyers, both in Georgia and in Louisiana, where the alleged crime took place, and a week of lost wages, only to be released with a, "Oh, sorry, we got the wrong guy." Additional mention goes to the DeKalb County officials for their apparent refusal to tell Mr. Reed what it was that he had been accused of. I wish him well in the lawsuit that he should be filing soon. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. To Dino for reminding Fongaboo to check his email to find the screenshot of the reminder, reminding him to check his other email for the instructions on how to do the thing. And to Fongaboo and Dino for doing the thing.
We did the thing!
Thanks, guys! Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Psycho, Ron, Joe Cadillac, Fongaboo, Thriller at Play, Knight Rider 007, Nitent, and an anonymous contributor for story leads, and to Ravenscloth, Roots, Fongaboo, JB, Set, and Tim the Enchanter for appearing in this episode. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. And to Fongaboo and to Fongaboo. Fuck. I didn't like the way that came out. Let's do it again. Our opening theme music. Yep. Mm-hmm. Our opening theme and bumper is Around kiosks. Yeah, I guess it's Around Kiosks, huh? All right, I'm going to pick up at the music credits.